A directive today from Cabinet, providers of COVID-19 testing may require payment from individuals and businesses engaged in voluntary testing. Going forward, government will only be paying for the cost of testing when the public health department has required that testing. For example, isolation quarantine exit testing or PCR confirmation of a positive lateral flow test. This change will affect all facilities providing testing within the Cayman Islands, including the Health Services Authority. Facilities which currently offer this service include the Health Services Authority, Doctors Hospital, Health City Cayman Islands, and Total Health. Venues offering lateral flow testing are available at the government's coronavirus website. No standard cost was set for the testing. An important reminder from the Public Health Department, the South Sound Community Center PCR testing clinic is only for people who have had a positive lateral flow test. It is not for testing in general.
Effective Friday, January 14, 2022, the clinic hours have been extended to 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. daily. Testing from this afternoon clinic is not valid for travel purposes.
Medical Officer of Health, Dr. Samuel Williams-Rodriguez, says the results will clearly state not valid for travel. Once someone has tested positive on a lateral flow test, they're required to isolate immediately, report it on exploregov.ky, and attend the South Sound Community Center at the next available clinic between 1 and 3 p.m. for their PCR test. Now, if you're a traveler who's tested positive on a certified 2, 5, or 10-day LFT, the healthcare provider who conducted the test, they will report the positive to public health for you, so you don't need to do that yourself. However, the confirmation PCR test at South Sound Community Center is still required. Individuals who need a PCR test for other reasons, like outbound travel or optional screening, they'll need to use one of the regular PCR testing clinics, such as the one at 131 McClendon Drive. Those PCR tests are paid for by the individual. In the wake of a violent attack on two gay men last week, the governor has met with members of the LGBTQ community. His Excellency Martin Roper sat down with the CEO of the Cayman LGBTQ Foundation, Noel Cayasso-Smith, and the Police Service's LGBT liaison officer to discuss their concerns about hate crime and tolerance in Cayman.
I have confidence that the RCIPS will ensure those responsible face justice. More generally, I welcome the Police Commissioner's strong commitment to ensure that the RCIPS serve all members of our community, and I am exploring ways of supporting him to deliver that more effectively.
The LGBTQ Foundation is urging the jurisdiction to consider introducing legislation for hate crime. Many countries recognize such crimes on the basis of race, religion, disability, sexual orientation, or transgender identity.
I noted that the matter of hate crime legislation is rightfully for the local government, but I agreed it was important to raise the issue. We should explore how we can ensure everyone in our community can feel safe and free to be themselves without fear of exclusion or worse.
On January 3rd, police were called to a report of a serious assault in the parking lot of the Strand on West Bay Road. Two men were jumped by another pair of men while making homophobic remarks. Both of the victims had to be treated at the hospital. One had a broken nose.
I really struggled with the absence of any sort of acknowledgement or response.
The chief officer of the Ministry of Health gets questioned by members of the Public Accounts Committee Wednesday as to why her department failed to respond to the Auditor General's draft report on the Health Service Authority's outpatient pharmacy services or provide management responses to its three recommendations.
It's just come down to in terms of capacity. That is our real constraint. We have no other choice but to be focused on the overpowering COVID situation that we are dealing with constantly. And we are very hopeful that we will not be in this position forever and that we'll be able to move ahead with these other important matters and to be able to timely respond to the issues at hand.
Nellie Pucci told members she would provide the PAC with a formal response today and an implementation plan for the three recommendations, hopefully by the end of the first quarter this year. One of the recommendations is that a revised and modernized Pharmacy Act be brought into force as soon as possible. Ms. Pucci told MPs the draft revisions have been reviewed by the Pharmacy Council and returned to the Department of Health Regulatory Services for further discussion.
Once the ministry has that, which I expect to have before the end of this month for sure, to be able to then discuss what those proposals are from that draft legislation and to see, take that forward to my minister, minister to cabinet, to see if that is something that is going to be accepted by the cabinet. That will then drive whether, how quickly we will have that amendment to the law.
In addition to the ministry's chief officer, the deputy governor was questioned in PAC on Wednesday as well. Radio Command's Carsley Fuller has more on that.
The Auditor General's report provided a number of recommendations on the Health Services Authority's pharmacy services on how it could improve and provide better value for money. And wrapping up 2 days of testimony in Parliament, the deputy governor stressed the need for government agencies to act on the OAG's reports.
I put significant importance to the work of the Auditor General and the work of the Public Accounts Committee. When those offices function at the highest level, when their work is taken seriously, my job actually becomes a bit easier in that a lot of things that are not working well will become working well if we pay attention, if we take the work of the Auditor General seriously and we implement the recommendations in a timely manner.
The Honorable Franz Manderson also blamed the pandemic for pushing some recommendations to the back burner.
It has not been business as usual in the civil service for the last 2 years. Performance management is not where it should be in terms of regular performance meetings, setting goals, setting procedures. The majority of us in the leadership, I think we're all focused on COVID.
Mr. Manderson told the Public Accounts Committee that going forward, every chief officer's performance agreement will include a section for compliance with recommendations of the Auditor General with implementation deadlines.
That means that they're held to account by myself. I would then have regular updates from the Auditor General as to where we are. I don't want to wait until December to find out that the recommendations have not been actioned or whatever. It's a real concern for and that we share.
Mr. Manderson committed that all outstanding government minutes will go before cabinet before the end of the quarter. Reporting for Radio Cayman News, I'm Kirstie Fuller.
The opposition is urging government to reconsider a proposed U.S. $400 million 30-year bond. Leader of the opposition, the Honorable Roy McTaggart, tells Radio Cayman they have a number of concerns.
First, the rushed and unexpected nature of the announcement, particularly as no mention of this was made at the recently concluded Budget and Finance Committee meetings of Parliament. Second, previous experience with a U.S. $312 million 10-year bullet bond arranged by the UDP government in 2009. This bond costs the country dearly in setup fees and interest, and this proposed bond will cost us far more than that.
Mr. McTaggart says the proposed bond issue, along with other planned borrowing by the government, will, quote, substantially increase the country's debt and undermine the government's financial position.
And fourth, such a bond is unnecessary and will become a significant financial burden to the people of these islands over the next 3 decades. This ultimately means less money available to assist families and businesses over the medium and long term, especially as we recover from the pandemic in what is still a very uncertain economy and uncertain future.
A government bond is a debt security issued by government to support government spending and obligations. There are 2 days left on the notice published on the Cayman Bonfire Hub tenders website. Another Grouper Moon is here, and the Department of Environment is gearing up to host live streams with local and international scientists about this phenomenon in Cayman seas and how conservation efforts are making a difference.
The live streams will include interviews with scientists describing what they've seen on their dives and what kind of data they've gathered. Different kinds of scientists will talk about different things. So there are grouper experts, fish reproduction experts, coral experts, ocean experts, all kinds of different perspectives on the spawning event. One of the coolest parts is that one of the live streams actually takes place underwater. One of the scientists will have a special helmet with a microphone so he or she can point out different observations while they're on the dive.
DOE's Public Education and Outreach Officer Judy Hurlston says even cooler, students will have a chance to ask questions and make observations during the live. That's January 18th to the 20th at 10:30 a.m. on the Reef Grouper Moon Project Education YouTube channel. That is your latest local news on this Friday from Radio Cayman's Newsroom. I'm April Cummings.